Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books. And I'm joined today by Georgia Hunter, whose book, We Were the Lucky Ones, it was her debut novel that came out last year. It is now available in paperback, wherever your fine books are sold, from the good folks at Penguin. Georgia, this one struck a nerve with me because I have Polish heritage, too. And the big difference between you and me is that I know nothing about it other than that I have Polish heritage. And so I know that it was a surprise to you that you had come from a family of Holocaust survivors, but you put this novel out. I guess when you were growing up, you said you were surprised to learn this, that you had come from Holocaust survivors. When you were growing up, did you not celebrate the Jewish heritage in your blood, or how did that all work that it was such a surprise to you?
Yeah, we did not. It was not a part of my upbringing. My grandfather, who's the Polish side, once he got to the States, he kind of put that piece of his heritage behind him. He married my grandmother, who is a Presbyterian from the American South, and I think she would have willingly embraced the Jewish heritage, but he, I think like many survivors, wanted to kind of move forward and not look back, and he did eventually, he would go back eventually to Brazil where some of his brothers were and celebrate Passovers, but at home in Massachusetts where my mom grew up and where I grew up, I actually had no idea he was Polish or Jewish, until I was about 15. So that was a piece of his past that he did not share with us.
So take it from the historical perspective of the book. You put this book together as a novel based on true events. My experience with historical fiction, and I don't know if I would necessarily generalize it that way, but is the people are all real. The events, they're just sort of filled in for novel purposes or for artistic purposes. Is that a fair statement?
I think for some, yes. And I would say, though, for my particular story, this was really based so closely on the truth. Really, every narrative, obviously the characters are my relatives, the main characters, and then their storylines, every single one of their paths to survival is actually based on my research and what I was able to uncover. And I suppose I could have written it as nonfiction, but I wasn't there, and by the time I started my research, all but Felicia, who was a year old at the start of the war, had passed away, so I wasn't able to interview them firsthand, and I felt like by adding dialogue and inner dialogue and that kind of more human, emotional aspect, I really wanted readers to feel like they were there and experiencing it with this family. I didn't feel like I had that creative license, and I wanted to be able to add that fictional piece, if you will, but really, in my case, I would say that 99% of the story is based on truth.
So introduce us, and I don't want to give anything away, but kind of take us through. You got a family of siblings that all get separated starting in 1939 with the Nazi invasion. Just take it from there.
Yeah, so, and actually my grandfather was the only one of his siblings living in France at the time. The rest of his family, four siblings, a little niece, his parents and cousins were all in Rodem, Poland, central Poland. And so when I went in my research, I figured my grandfather's piece would be kind of one story, and then the Polish family, the family that remained in Poland, would be the other. But I quickly realized that even the family in Poland scattered. And so one brother was sent off to the Siberian Gulag. Another was in hiding in Lvov, somewhere in the ghetto. A sister was in the ghetto with her little baby girl. So they kind of all had these individual paths and ways that they tried to stay alive and then reunite. So that's sort of the basis of the story, is how every day they just did everything in their power to kind of defeat the odds, and they did somehow manage without giving too much away, but they were really lucky in many ways, and then they just never gave up hope, and they were able to persevere in the end.
Did you find, as you talked to family members to do your research for this, for the oral history part of this, that a lot of the people who were involved were reluctant to talk, kind of the same way that soldiers who come back from war, especially World War II guys, don't like to talk about it?
I did in some cases, but like I said, it mostly was the second generation that I was interviewing, and to be honest with you, they spoke about their parents with so much love and respect, and even almost anecdotally in cases. There were stories of a disguised circumcision, which was a life or death moment, but it was told with laughter to me. That said, the Felicia, who I mentioned was a year old at the start of the war, so her entire childhood, for 7 years of her life, that she knew nothing else, she was, it was difficult to pull some of the memories from her, but she did. She willingly shared, and I was just very gentle with my approach, and I was amazed at how vivid her memory was for being so young at the time. But in general, I was met with such a positive response when I decided to sit off and research this piece of the story. I think the family was all so excited to be a part of it and to help me that I didn't get as much pushback as I know a lot of people do with relatives who really don't want to talk about it.
Other than talking to relatives, I would think if I tried to put together a book like this of family history, I would have no idea where to start looking at the documentation of these things. Is Holocaust survivor stuff, is that documented fairly well overseas and in the United States?
There are places to look, yeah. And actually, if you want to go to my website, Georgia Hunter Author, I have a whole page on resources if anybody's interested in looking up their ancestry. But you know, the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum in D.C. is wonderful. They have amazing resources. They even have a group of librarians. You can email them a question, many questions as I did, and they'll get back to you with answers. And then you just kind of have to, if I had researched this story 20 years ago, I wouldn't have gotten very far, but there are more and more and more records that have been digitalized. I found records through the Hoover Institution at Stanford. I found records through Yad Vashem. And so there really are more and more resources available, and I do just recommend, write an inquiry. You never know what will come back. I wrote some, you know, to anywhere I knew the family was at any point in time, I'd write a letter, and sometimes it would be to Russia or to Poland. And one time I got a letter back 11 months later, so almost a year later, with a name and a date. Oh, yes, we found record of your great uncle here on this day. And that little bit is like gold, right? I put it into my timeline. So I just think it's worth reaching out to some of these organizations that do have records because they're more and more available every day.
Georgia Hunter is my guest. We Were the Lucky Ones is the novel that's available in paperback. It's 1% novel and 99% nonfiction, I guess, is probably the best way to look at that. The title, We Were the Lucky Ones, that really stands out to me because the chance of all four of these people making it through the Holocaust with their families is almost zero. Is that a fair statement?
Oh, yeah. They were a statistical anomaly to be able to make it out. Yeah, it was actually, my grandfather was one of five siblings, and then the family in total was over 20. I mean, it was, I think that's part of why I realized I needed to write it, because the more I kind of learned about our story and what I knew about the Holocaust and the odds that any Polish Jew or Jew in Europe at the time faced, I realized our story was unique in that way.
Did you go through a lot of emotions yourself as you heard these stories because you were related to the people involved as opposed to a researcher who's just doing this as a nonfiction piece?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I know everybody keeps asking what I'm writing next, and I just have to this started as a project purely from the heart. You know, it was something I needed to do, and as the research unfolded and I realized how remarkable these stories were, and then in the writing of the book, I really tried to put myself into the shoes of each of my relatives, and a lot of them I hadn't had a chance to meet. So in a way, I got to know them through this process, and I spent weeks, you know, hours upon hours with their children and their homes in Brazil and in France and across the state. So I feel so much closer to this family and to this piece of my heritage that surely I didn't know, really, the piece of the heritage that I didn't know existed, and then the family that I hadn't had a chance to get to know as well. But it's certainly been an emotional process, yeah.
Would it even bring you to tears as you would research?
Oh yeah. I mean, and the other thing is, I had a child halfway through the research. I've got two boys now, but my oldest was born halfway through, and all of a sudden, as I'm writing these chapters from my great aunt Mila's perspective, and she's got this little girl by her side, and she's making these horrific decisions about, you know, do they try to escape the ghetto? Does she put her daughter at risk? Does she leave her in the hands of a stranger? All of a sudden, from a mother's perspective, I could relate, and those chapters especially were almost impossible to write. And then some of the happier chapters, some of the times where the family would come, their paths would cross, and they'd reunite. I mean, those were tearjerkers as well. I still cry at certain chapters.
How many of these books have you signed for family members at gatherings since this came out?
Oh, so many. And I had a beautiful launch event in the city in February when the hardcover came out. And I think I had about 25 family members in the audience. Of all the Kirk siblings, the five siblings, four were there represented by children and grandchildren and even a great-grandchild. So it was just such a sign of support and the love, and they'd flown in from across continents to be there. It was amazing. They're just incredibly supportive and so grateful for this story that's finally pulled together.
Well, it's just a phenomenal book. It's a We Were the Lucky Ones. It's a novel from Georgia Hunter. It's her debut novel. It became a national bestseller, and it's now available in paperback. So go shell out the 15 or 20 bucks or whatever you pay. Nobody pays full price for books anymore. What am I talking about? But anyway, go out and buy this thing. It's in paperback. You will not be disappointed. We Were the Lucky Ones. Georgia Hunter, thanks so much for a great novel, and thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.
You're the lucky one, so I've been told. As free as a wind.